It's been a long week. Grab a beer and sit back. It's Brew Talk time. Here's Tanner Chad and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Good Wednesday evening, Northern Colorado. Welcome in for the first time in a bit. We are back with you. Some scheduling issues. Of course, we had some basketball games the last couple of weeks that have taken our place. But we are back and live and at it here tonight. I am Tanner Schwint. Welcome into the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Chad Young, owner of the Tavern at St. Michael Square, joining me as always. Chad, you have clearly stayed warm. Well, maybe. Yeah, you got pants
on
today.
I got pants on. Yep.
Normally, you're the dude that everyone looks at, like, what the hell are you doing? You've got shorts on, but you got pants.
And I had shorts on earlier today, but I wasn't sure with the snow coming in what the weather would be like.
So you went with the pants.
Yeah, so I went with the pants.
What is your thought process behind wearing shorts when it's this incredibly cold out, though?
Well, most of the time, I'm not outside much, and most other places have their heat turned up way too high for me.
Okay.
So I'm either in the car or somewhere else. So I'd just rather be comfortable in my shorts and then instead of sweating.
So you risk the walk from wherever you're going to your car.
Right, which is usually...
That's the sacrifice you're willing to make.
Absolutely.
What if you have to park a very far ways away?
I'm still outside less than 5 minutes.
5 minutes is your cutoff?
No. Because I'll shovel the sidewalk in my shorts, too. So
why?
Why not?
Well, if you're working, you know.
I'm not going to put pants on just to go shovel the sidewalks and then come inside and change.
All right. Touche. Just had to get an inside look at why how Chad handles the cold.
This is Colorado.
That's Colorado weather for you. Any other
cold? I think that's
cliches?
Coloradans.
Yeah, some. But some of us like to be warm.
Shorts
still
are better than a kilt. So, you know, that's a good thing.
Please don't ever
Although sometimes
it.
If the wind's
stop.
Blowing just
stop.
Right.
Stop.
The
stop. Kilt
would what be kind of nice.
Both of you, gentlemen, stop what you're doing. Right now, that is Dr. Michael Mosier, UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences, and new owner of Broken Plow Brewing.
That's correct.
Congratulations.
Well, my wife and I have decided to take over the realm of brewing with Broken Plow, and... A lot of changes are planned and are coming your way. So
we're going to get into all of that, too. But wanted to say congratulations. I know this is a journey to being an owner of a brewery that has had some twists and turns.
A lot of twists and turns. We initially were just trying to find a place where it would just be us and go in, you know, at the start and just kind of build it from there. But then all of a sudden it came to pass that... You know, the owners of Broken Plow were looking to retire, and we were looking to own. So it just seemed to be a match made in heaven there.
Yeah,
so.
We're going to get into all of that much, much more. But congratulations to you, sir. Mm-hmm. Thanks for being with us. I wanted to make sure that we weren't going to lose you when that happens.
So. Oh, no.
You've read your contract thoroughly?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I just need to know that you know what the damages are if you opt out of
the show. That's right. And this is this kind of show I don't think I'd ever leave. So.
Well, we sit around and have beer.
That's right. That's right.
Don Chapman, Grimm Brothers, welcome back. We had a couple of weeks hiatus, but we're back at it. Thanks for joining us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
What's been new with you guys over at Grimm?
You know, we're just plugging along and trying to keep our feet under us through all the ups and downs of life. So, but things are going well, and had a good Valentine's Day there in Loveland. So, yeah.
Can't complain. Loveland, and this is, I think, I don't know why, but this is the first year that it's really set into me how important Valentine's Day is in Loveland. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit on this program, but I mean, that's a big damn deal over there.
It's a pretty big celebration there. Yeah, they go all out, the city, the Chamber of Commerce, everybody's going all out on it. So it's fun.
So how did it go Sunday? That was Sunday, right? Was Valentine's Day Sunday?
It was Sunday, yeah.
I did take my girlfriend out for lunch, okay? You know, I want to be clear about that. It was
McDonald's doesn't count as taking her out.
No, it wasn't McDonald's either.
Taco Bell.
Yeah. Okay. That counts. No, I'm just kidding. So how did it go Sunday?
You know, it was interesting this year with COVID and whatnot. It definitely was a different feel in the tap room and whatnot, and not as many people out and about celebrating. But it was more of a, you know, we sell that Bleeding Heart beer all the way up until July, right. past Valentine's Day, so it was a busy month.
Are you out of the Bleeding Heart now?
No, we still have a little bit left,
you
but
do.
It's on its tail end. So
fading fast.
Yeah, if you want it, come by quickly.
There you go. Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us tonight.
You bet.
We're doing stouts tonight, so perfect timing. Get nice and warm with the cold weather that we've had as well. That is Ryan Kelly back there doing the production work. Got to give him a shout-out, even though I don't know why I do sometimes. Again, stouts tonight. Let's talk more about it, Doc, if you're mm-hmm. okay. Let's open this up, because Broken Plow's been around for quite some time.
It has.
And I know a lot of people are excited about what's going to happen there. So walk us through what you can talk about with what's going
sure.
on with the transition, because this is a long process.
So the transition is basically just us sort of learning the ropes, learning all of the financial stuff, the cash accounts and all that kind of things, you know, all the bills that come in. The brewing, I think we've kind of got it under our belt, but we're going to have to dial ourselves into their system, learn all their little every brewery has its own little quirks, and trying to learn, you know, you turn this valve this way versus that way to get the best flow rate or something like that. So we're going to have to learn all of that as we go. And then along the way, we're going to do some small changes to become better for everybody that comes in the door. And then eventually probably rebrand,
right.
Hopefully around May 1st or so.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And I mean, your homebrew beer that I've had has been incredible, too. So the first and probably the most important question is, will there be a beer named after me?
I suppose we could have a beer named after you. You know, that's something that, you know, that your name is unique enough that it could go quite well with a couple different styles, like a rye ale or something like
okay.
that, Tanner's rye ale.
All right. I like it. So we're brainstorming. I don't even think Chad knows, but can we tell Chad about the one? Do you remember the brainstorm that we were having while we were out there about we already have a name for something for Chad?
Yeah.
Do you remember it? Can we tell Chad that?
Yeah, you could tell. Go ahead.
So he's going to brew a seltzer. It's going to be called. It's going to be called Chad's Journey.
Fantastic!
Yeah, you like that?
I look forward to pouring it out down the drain.
Chad just clearly hates Journey and seltzers.
Just a joke there.
Yeah,
so.
Just a tease. You're opposed. I'm shocked.
No, you know, any publicity I can get my name out there.
That's right. So, but the other thing that I probably should mention, too, that a lot of people probably don't know is that over 90% of the beers that Broken Plow makes are gluten reduced, so and tested so that they're all less than 10 part per million of gluten. So if you happen to be a celiac or don't want gluten in your beer,
That's something you're going to keep going with, too.
We're going to keep going with that. I don't notice much of a flavor difference between a gluten-reduced and a regular beer, so I don't see a reason why not to do it.
Your recipes, have you brewed a lot of these gluten-reduced beers?
Mm-hmm. It's actually just by adding an enzyme during fermentation that just chews up the rest of the gluten that's in there. They're essentially gluten-free, but you can't really call them gluten-free because they did at one point have gluten in them. So, but basically they're gluten-free, and that's really good for those people who can't handle all that gluten.
Right. Don, Chad, you guys have both been sitting in this spot before, right, where it's scary. I mean, it's a whole new journey that you're getting ready to embark on. Of course, talking about Mr. Mosier and his beautiful wife, Christy, taking over Broken Plow. What were the couple of things, Don, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Chad if that works. What were a couple of the things that were going through your mind when that paperwork had just got signed, and you're like, holy hell, where do we go now? What was going through your mind at the time?
How am I ever going to pay this back?
I am there right now.
Yeah.
I've already cried, you know, so.
There's no crying in breweries.
You know, we both looked at each other when we signed the paperwork and went, did we really mean to do that?
I know that feeling. That's exactly when Wendy and I signed the paperwork for the tavern. It was the same thing.
Yeah. So the money's right there at the front. Did you feel confident in anything at the moment? I mean, was there anything that you said, you know what, this is going to work?
You know, when we started, we were pretty excited, and I think we were confident we would get it done, but there was that bit of, you know, can we do this? Are we going to be able to make good beer? Are we going to be able to compete with the big guys? And, you know, it's definitely a leap of faith, but it's worth it.
Well, and I know you've really done a good job with it, really gone from, like, the starter kind of thing to, like, now having a batch of beer go in how many days? Almost 2 weeks? Not even 2 weeks? And you're
about that.
And you're the Bleeding Heart's almost gone. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to get to there, too.
Yeah. Well, and Chad, restaurant-wise, and keep in mind, this is coming off the year after a pandemic.
Yes.
But when you were opening this up, I promise, is not intended to scare you, Doc. I'm just...
I'm not scared. I'm terrified.
I know you're working through some of the same things. But what was that process like of... Because you were a chef for a long time.
Right.
You're really
right.
Old, and so you were a chef for a long time leading up to it. But then you took over the restaurant, and what was going through your head?
Not quite as old as dirt. But,
sorry, I'm that old.
you know, I had run restaurants for a long time. I was fairly confident that the day-to-day stuff we'd be fine with. And the actual running of the restaurant. It was all the kind of ownership and behind-the-scenes mm-hmm. things that we really had no idea about. And you know, and the licensing and everything that goes into that, and then the taxes and payroll, and so there's a pretty big learning curve for us that first year with all that stuff. And you're already learning.
That's exactly where I am right now. It's do I know how to make beer? Yeah, I think I know how to make beer.
Yeah.
Can I make good tasting beer? Yeah, I can. At least at the on a 7-barrel system, I think I can do a pretty good job there of making some decent beers. And I'm not going to sell it if it doesn't taste good, but. Yeah, I think I got that part down. It's just the rest of it. Everything you just mentioned is the reason why I'm terrified.
Yeah.
So excited at the same time. I can't say how excited I am. It's that exhilaration you get when you're tightrope walking across the gap between two buildings. That's kind of how I feel. It's exciting and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, it's terrifying, but it's a good terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not... oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Well, it is, but...
Yeah, but today's technology...
But you still get up and you do it every day.
Right. But it's kind of cool, though, that with today's technology, you can actually just pull up on your phone, you know, are people actually buying something today?
Yes.
And, oh, yes, they are. Okay, good.
And I'm sure there's a certain degree of over-analysis that could go into that, of watching those numbers too closely, right, and going through it. Maybe not in the first, as you're learning trends and stuff like that. But again, it's Brew Talk Radio. I'm Tanner Schwint, Chad Young, owner of the Tavern at St. Michael's Square, Dr. Michael Mosier, UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences, also owner of Broken Plow Brewing, Don Chapman, Grimm Brothers. We're discussing this new purchase for Dr. Mosier. If there is one thing that you wish you would have known, gentlemen, when you first started and bought your businesses, what are things that you wish somebody would have been able to tell you at the time?
How to deal with a global pandemic.
Yeah, right. Do you have that in your business plan?
Just in case it would ever came up.
Well, do you have that in your business plan?
That is the business plan right now, right? We don't have anywhere to go but up from where we are now. So,
no. In all seriousness, was there something that you wish you would have known then that you know now, Chad?
I think it was is more like the accounting stuff, like I was talking about the paying taxes, the payroll stuff, the licensing. If I had learned a little bit more about the business side of things beforehand, I think that would have been great for me. Like I said, the day-to-day, the operational stuff, you know, I had locked down because I'd been doing it for so long. It was the actual ownership side of things that was the hardest part for me.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. That was the hands down for us. It was the biggest learning curve was, you know, taxes and licensing and filling out reports and payroll taxes, and mm-hmm. It goes on and on and on. So having a little bit of a business class would have been a good idea.
But at least you guys had both CPAs and attorneys and people like that to fall back on to help you out.
Yeah. Well,
and that's kind of where I am now. It's just,
right.
I'm shocked at how slow the process of learning is for this. I would like to learn it all and have it done now.
That's coming from a doctor, Michael Mosier. I mean, that right? I mean, that process of learning probably not ever fast enough for you. But the other thing you get going, I would have to mention, I mean, Randy and Reagan have been doing this for a long time. The Waddles have
they will still
be a part of it.
Yes, they're still a part of the plow for a while to show us the ropes, to help us out when we have a hiccup or something like that, and also, you know, to kind of help guide us into maintaining what we are. So I think it's a good plan all around to have them on board, and they're a wealth of knowledge.
Right.
And, you know, you can never turn away somebody who's anxious to help.
Yeah, well, we're more than thrilled about it, and of course, I loved seeing all the interaction, the comments, people wishing you and Christy well on our Facebook page when we shared the news over the weekend, and you know, obviously we're going to have some jokes on this show and stuff like that, but sincerely, we wish you the best, and really excited about it, and we want to learn more about it and about this process, about tweaks to make it yours, because you know, there's a reason the brewery, the Broken Plow, was around for, you know, as long as it has been, and that's a tight, you know, again, a tightrope that you're walking of, okay, how do I make it mine but still keep pulling on the things that made Broken Plow successful?
Right, and you know, here I am saying, it's my brewery. It's actually my wife's brewery. I happen to just work there. So, you know, yes, of course.
I think it's all kind of just Christy's world. We're all living in it, though.
Well, that's true, too. But, no, yeah, so it's actually a woman known business, and I just happen to be the employee. Well, I might call it my brewery because I'll be the one making the beers and stuff.
Well, and that's how a marriage works, right? I mean, it's both of yours, right?
Yeah, Christy's on the book side, and you know, she's done a little bit of administrative work before, so I think we're in good spirits, and we're going to pull through and make some great beer, get some collaborations and stuff put together, and then when we all come out of this pandemic thing, hopefully in the summer, we'll be back to running what Broken Plow was doing back then, you know, full time, you know, packed houses every night.
We're looking forward to it. Well, congratulations again. 6:21 the time. It's Brew Talk Radio. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the inside to continue this conversation here on this Wednesday evening. We're talking stouts tonight. Perfect night to be talking stouts. Don't go anywhere. Brew Talk Radio right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome in on this snowy Wednesday evening. It is Brew Talk Radio, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Thanks for being with us. I am Tanner Schwint, Chad Young, owner of the tavern at St. Michael Square. Say hello, Chad.
Hello, Chad.
Hello, Chad. Dr. Michael Mosier, UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences, Broken Plow Brewing. Say hello, Doc.
Hello, Doc.
Don Chapman, owner of Grim Brothers Brewhouse. Say hello, Don.
Hello, Don.
Ryan Kelly, doing the production work. You stay quiet, Ryan. No, I'm just kidding. Say hello, Ryan. How are you, my man?
Good. How are you?
Good. Are you happy to be back watching four men drink beer?
It's the biggest thing of the week for me.
Yeah, whatever we've got left, you normally pounce on afterwards.
Exactly.
You're ready for that.
What?
You're ready for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're doing stouts tonight, but right now we are drinking, is it Midnight Strikes? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about this beer, Don. This is obviously a Grim Brothers beer and another great set of artwork done here on this can.
Yeah. So Midnight Strikes is our Schwarz beer, and it's mostly a year-round beer. We keep it for the colder months. We'll discontinue it for the few summer months, but it'll come back every year then. And it's just a real light lager, but dark color, so kind of deceiving.
It is.
But it goes down easy. Artwork's obviously after, Midnight Strikes after Cinderella. So, yeah, So it's a fun beer.
Cinderella's grown up in this.
Yes, a little bit.
Let's just you go look at the can. You'll understand what I'm talking about. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Sorry, Doc.
I was going to say the Schwarz beer has a lot of the same kind of style characteristics as a Bock does. And so even though Bock is a lager and the Schwarz beer is an ale, but other than that, I think they kind of are very similar in flavor profile. If you happen to know what a Bock is,
right?
Now you know what a Schwarz beer is.
Mm-hmm. This is the type of beer that that would confuse me at the beginning, just because of the look of it, right? That it's that dark. Wouldn't expect it to be that smooth on the back end. I mean, it's relatively light and smooth on the back end, too. It finishes very nicely, for sure. This is the first time I've had this beer. It's very good. What's the ABV on it, Don?
It's around 5.5%.
Right around 5.5%. Yeah. Chad, any thoughts on this?
Yes, I like it.
I like it. Chad
Simplicity.
Chad gets paid the big bucks to break
That's
this
right.
down. The other one is Three Golden Hairs as well that I think it's been passing around. Talk us through that beer.
Yeah, so that one's our Pilsner, so another lager. And this is more of a Czech style pils. We use a lot of Zotz hops in it. But it's pretty smooth, pretty easy going, nice crisp finish.
Zotz hops?
Zotz hops, yeah.
That's the first time.
You might also know them as Saaz, S-A-A-Z.
I may just be a moron, too, so that takes care of that. But what is it custom to the style?
Very much so. So Bohemian Pilsners rely very heavily on Zotz hops.
Okay.
They have a very floral flavor to them, and if you've had like Pilsner Quell or something,
right.
you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Well, maybe I need to just finish this beer and pour another. See, Chad's already waiting on me, like, what are you doing over there? Pass the beer. I know I'm slacking over there. Have you had this beer?
I have. The Saaz or Zaz is a style of hops that's what we might call a noble hop.
Okay.
It's not too terribly bitter. It's more about the aroma and the flavor. And I think it's kind of a spicy kind of floral flavor, and it's gorgeous, and it fits perfectly with the Pilsner.
The hops on things, that's always been a little confusing to me, which I know it's dumb because it's just like cooking, right? I mean, it's, what ingredients are going into it? You wouldn't put, you know, flour in certain things or brown sugar in certain things, those are used a lot more. How many different strands and things of hops are there?
Oh, goodness.
Thousands, millions? I mean,
Probably thousands.
Yeah. No.
So how do you just, I mean, is it personal touch and you learn exactly what it is? I mean, obviously I know the style kind of can control part of it, right?
So I would say compared to cooking, it's like using different types of herbs. There's lots of different types of herbs. They're all herbs. But they give off different characteristics. The same is for hops in beer.
Right. And you might never use, like, caraway seed in your spaghetti sauce.
I love caraway seed.
But I definitely know what that is. But you might use it on a bagel or something. Mm-hmm. So the same kind of thing is true with the Saaz. You probably wouldn't want it in a stout, first off, because you probably couldn't taste it. but it would go really, really good in a Pilsner. So there's tons. I think I'm hitting the nail on the head there, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
there's
yeah,
tons
absolutely.
Of different kinds. And every year they come out with new varieties of hops.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's interesting. Different. Have you ever had a hop that you poured into a beer that after you got done burning it, you're like, that was probably a mistake?
Oh, I've done that many times.
Absolutely, yeah.
Have you ever put the wrong herb?
Oh, yeah.
Herb. Have you put herb in anything?
And some hops, even
herb's not around anymore.
Oh, okay.
Some hops, even if you use too much, they become too grassy or too earthy or something. So some of it's, you know, they're good up until a certain point, and then you ruin.
And then in other cases, there's certain styles of beer where you want the oldest, most spoiled hops you can get your hands on, and when they spoil, hops start to smell like cheese. And so they call it cheesy hops when they get to be really old.
Brewing is so damn weird.
So
it's just Chad's so damn weird too.
But so there are certain styles where that cheesy hop is a perfect hop for it.
Like what? What's a beer that you could put spoiled hops into?
Lambics.
Lambics mostly. Yeah.
Mostly Goose would be a different kind. Not a Goza, but a Goose.
I learned that lesson that it's just that's the one part for me that I can't wrap my head around. I mean, I know there's recipes and stuff like that you have to put, but there's so many of them that, like, it's just hard for me to wrap my head around that, knowing exactly which one and the amount that goes into this or that, and especially experimenting with them, because you don't want to create the same beer that everybody else has created. Well, I feel like
that, and that's the beauty of beer.
That's the beauty of great brewers.
Even if I gave you the recipe, it's very difficult for you to duplicate it because you don't have the same hops that came from the same farm that I got my hops from. You don't have the malt that came from the same farm I got my malt from. And terroir, where it was made, where it was grown, really impacts the flavor of hops. Mm-hmm. Like Cascade hops taste great, and they taste different if they're Cascade from Yakima, Washington, or Cascade from Colorado. Mm-hmm. So those hops are totally different flavors, even though they're the same hop.
Again, this is Brew Talk Radio, and I'm getting hops explained to me for the 47th time in the history of this show, and yet it's still hard to wrap my head around. And I just, right when I think I'm getting, you know, Cascade, starting to know some of the hops names. Zots? Is that what it is? Zots. Then I hear something like that, I'm like, I don't even know why I host this damn show, other than I like to drink beer, and I'm the only moron they could find to talk on the radio this late at night talking about beer. But it's fascinating to me how big of a factor that plays into it as well. So didn't mean to get on the sidebar there about that about the hops as well, but I think it's an interesting conversation, and hops can make or break a beer, and how often do you tinker with that? Like, how often do you say, Here's this beer that we do, we like it, but maybe it's not exactly what we're going for. Kind of that, the enemy you know is worse than the one you don't, or whatever the saying is. But is it kind of that mentality when it goes into hops?
It depends on what kind of beer you're making, and if it's a beer you're innovating and trying to come with a different profile, yeah, you modify hops a lot as well as other things. If it's a beer you're trying to keep consistent, you have to change your hops every new crop year because the alpha acids are different, and so you have to adjust your bitterness off based off of the new crop coming out. So it just kind of depends what you're going for.
I love these conversations because this gets into, and I know we could talk about, you know, cooking the same way, where you're getting your products from and everything. And my brain just doesn't work like that. You want me to promote a good beer? You want me to find the best media outlets to promote it? You want me to highlight? Great. I can take a finished product and tell you that's a damn good product. Don't ask me how it got that way. And this is the part of it, you know, and that's why I like to talk about these things, is that a lot of people just see, well, that's a good beer. Mm-hmm. That's a good beer. That's a great beer. That's a not so good beer. But they don't think about what goes into it. And because a lot of people, it takes a special type of person to be creators. And that's what the three of you are. I mean, look, you can create a radio show, this or that, but that's pretty straightforward. Grabbing all of these different ingredients and creating something that comes out to a desired taste or flavor, that's fascinating to me. And I think that's part of the art and the trade of being a brewer, being a master chef, being all of this, that kind of can get lost on people. And you damn sure don't see these conversations happening in the Yelp reviews. you just hear everybody complaining about it. So I think it's a very fascinating fascinating topic. But anybody want to expand further on this?
So since we're talking about hops, what's the craziest hop you've ever used? I mean, because I know there's some out there like Mandarina, which tastes like oranges, and others that are just nothing but spice, and others that are just nothing but piney flavored. Is there one that you kind of like is so far off the beaten path, you're like, I don't know why we're trying this, and it ends up working?
You know, there's been several. I can't remember some of the names off the top of my head. Some of the most fun hops we've had have been, we'll get a 11-pound bag dropped to us by a supplier saying, this is an experimental hop, try some of this. And every now and then they'll just drop it on your doorstep and say, hey, let me know what you think. So, and those are always fun. You can't make a lot of beer with them, but...
Have you ever had one that you bought afterwards because you're like, okay, I like that hop. I like how that beer turned out.
There was one that we made a lager out of that was a really good noble hop, and they did brand it as something else, and I honestly don't remember what it is now.
Yeah.
But we did try to get it again, but it's, you know, it takes a while for their crop to get enough to where you can really get it out there. So it takes a few years after you try it till you'll see it again.
Yeah, or like those hops that everybody just loves right off the bat, and the next thing you know, they skyrocket in price, and you can't afford them anymore.
That was how Amarillo was back when.
Yeah.
Or the supply runs out because they weren't planning on everybody to like it so much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That they,
well, or, Yeah, go ahead.
Or there's hops like, so there's a, you know, we're talking about the American hop market, but there's also tons of hops grown in other parts of the world, not just Germany and England and places like that, but South Africa is starting to be a really big push. There's a lot of new hop crops coming out of there. And then, of course, you've got New Zealand and Australia with all of their wonderful hop products, and some of them are starting to get so valuable because as soon as you taste them, you're like, ooh, I want that in my beer, and but you can't get enough to make your beer with, and so the price goes up, and people start haggling, and I'll trade you a 44-pound brick of this for a 5-pound brick of that, and then you get the wheeling and dealing.
I heard that happen once. Yeah. I think I heard it earlier today before the show started. Again, we're talking about supply of hops and different things. I want to tie that in there, and really I was going to take a break, but I don't want to yet because I want to keep this conversation going. I have talked in the last I've had 5 different meetings with 5 different industries. Advertisers over the last week, and I have a common theme. I mean, I'm talking from irrigation to truck supply for pickup and vehicle supplies to all sorts of stuff that we've been able to talk about. And every industry has one thing in common: they are having hell getting things shipped in right now. Mm-hmm. People are not able to get what they need at the moment. How is that impacting the brewing and the restaurant world? Chad, let's actually start with you on this one. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, there's been several supply chain issues. And a lot of it kind of just gears on when restaurants were shut down, then suppliers quit producing. And then all of a sudden they say, okay, restaurants and everybody can open up again. And they're all doing it at the same time and everybody needs the same products. There's just not enough to go around. So it takes a little while for those supply chains to get built back up again.
Well, and those supply chains are probably, a lot of them, delivering on a national level.
Absolutely.
And there are states that are in varying degrees of opening back up, some that never technically shut down, some that have, you know, so that has been impacting as well, the inconsistency across the board. Are you starting to see it pick back up a little bit, the time of being able to get stuff getting quicker?
It's getting better now. There's still some issues with certain things, but then you try to look and find substitutions, you know, you try to find whatever you can.
Yeah.
But there still are some issues with getting some stuff. And I think that's why restaurants are really flexible with their menus right now.
Right.
Because it's, everybody's trying to figure out, you know, what they can get, when they can get it, and, you know, what it's going to cost them.
What's the main thing that you've had issues getting?
The biggest thing is produce.
Really?
Honestly.
Well, this freeze probably isn't going to help things either.
Weather doesn't help, so we've got that fighting against us. You've got fuel prices. That's not helping right now, especially I heard gas stations in Texas are running low because they can't get any deliveries.
Right.
So things like that are always going to affect produce. So right when that chain starts to recover a little bit from all the restaurants opening back up, now we're going to see some issues. It'll be probably a week or two down the road, but we'll see some weather-related issues for sure.
How about in the brewing world, gentlemen? Are there things that you've been having a hard time getting your hands on?
You know, for us, the biggest thing is aluminum cans right now. That is really the only thing right now that we're having headaches with, but we're having a lot of headaches with it. So
is that because everybody said, holy bleep, we need to start canning because our tap rooms have been shut down?
I think that's part of it. Part of it was some of the legislation put on some tariffs and stuff. And just there was a lot that it went out over the last couple of years that have just kind of been the perfect storm to come together now that everybody needs cans and there's not enough cans to supply everyone. So it'll work itself out, but it's definitely going to take some time.
Any thoughts, Doc, on
yeah,
this?
Yeah, and I'm hoping I can get cans one of these days. So,
Doc's over here with a notepad, note to self.
I'm saving all of my cans. I'm going to wash them out and No, just kidding.
All right. Well, make sure we all donate these cans to Doc when we're done. No, I'm just kidding. Let's take a break now. 6:40. Great conversation there about what's going on in the brewing and the restaurant industry, and how it all works. I think that's what we're here for. That's what these smart gentlemen are here for. I'm here to guide the ship. It's Brew Talk Radio on Northern Colorado's Voice. We'll be back after this right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK. Once we're-
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Brew Talk here on the Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFK. Good to be back in the studios here. Couple weeks off. Been a minute since I've had a nice cold beverage in front of me. Gentlemen, it's stout night. As we look across the table, initial thoughts on how our beer 30 is going to go?
It's going to be very stouty.
Yes.
And
this is why Doc's paid the big bucks. Chad proved it earlier.
I think we've got three good stouts here, and I think we've got a good – it's going to be fun to taste these.
Do we have three stouts?
Oh, actually, I also have a fourth.
Do you have a special one?
That. Yeah, Sam Smith's.
Okay. So. All right. Has anybody had this one that I brought? We don't have to say the name of it, but has anybody had this?
I have not. Yet.
I have not.
I've had it, but it's been a while.
I like the name on it. And the other thing I also like is that there is dust on the bottle.
So it's a popular one.
Right. It's exactly what I'm looking for. It's interesting. It's aged well. What I was getting for there.
It's not that old. It's only 3 months in the package.
All right. So well, I'm looking forward to that. That company does good beer, but we'll get into Beer 30 in the second hour as well. The art of brewing a good stout. Talk me through it. Flip a coin. Who goes first?
Roasted malt.
Yep. Roasted malt. And I like it a little bit more robust in terms of alcohol, a little higher, maybe 6%, 6.5%, rather than like a porter where you might have it down around 4.5 or 5.
Okay. Yeah, and I like to keep the hops more towards the beginning. You know, if you put too many on the end, you kind of muddles it up and confuses the flavors. For the most part, there are exceptions.
Easy, moderate, or difficult to brew?
It's about the same as any other.
I give you three options.
Well, easy, moderate. We'll go moderate.
Moderate. Yeah. Thank you for looking at my fingers.
I was looking over here. Make sure I got the right finger. I think the hard part of it is making sure you've got your grains weighed out just right, and that you get the right crush on them, and you get them into the kettle in the right order. I kind of like them going in the mash tun in a certain order, so that I don't have all of my the roasted grains at the bottom where they could get involved in going through the screen at the bottom. So, just a little bit of – it's moderate. I think something like a sour is much, much harder to do.
Okay. What's your favorite stout? I mean, is there a stout out there that you say that's – is there somewhere in your mind that you say, if I'm going to drink a stout, here's where I want to go. Do you have something like –
Guinness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my go-to stout.
I like a Berry Republic stout out of California. It's a pretty good one. It's one of my favorite ones if I can find it.
Berry Republic.
Yeah.
Years of Guinness.
Yeah, Guinness. Yeah.
It's weird, this cold weather, this weekend. I don't think I said this on air. This is the first time I've had a beer in a minute. I've been just trying to cut back a little bit. And, of course, this cold weather always makes me want to have an Irish car bomb. I don't know what it is about it, but I'm like, let's go.
Well, we're only a month away from Paddy's Day.
Right. And that's why I'm trying to go 30 days of Wednesday night being the only night that I drink. So if you catch me out on the town, shut your mouth. You didn't see me there. But I'm just trying to go that way. But Irish car bombs, and that's something, that's about the only way that you could get some people to drink a stout, I think, because they get so scared of it. But if you say, hey, here's what we're going to do, then all of a sudden you see everybody doing it, right? I mean, then everybody starts drinking on it.
But actually, I prefer more of the stouts without the nitro. I actually really enjoy this. I don't really care for the nitro flavor. It just takes away all the flavor out of the stout for me.
We tried the Guinness Nitro last year. Is that right?
Do you guys remember that?
It was not great. If memory serves,
it becomes very. To me, it becomes very flavorless.
Did somebody bring that in when we did the milkshake, the beer shakes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did somebody have that over the ice cream? Is that right? Was that you that brought that, or was that Kevin? Farley with the Nerd Show. I don't remember which one it was. Yeah, but. I think somebody had brought that in there, but that was actually a pretty good combo. But
I actually prefer more of just the solid stout flavor. If we're going to have a stout, let's go all the way and have the stout. Let's not muddle it up with, you know, adding it on nitro. That's just kind of like a frou-frou thing that I'm not a big fan of.
Are you, Don, a fan of nitro in general?
It depends on the beer. It has to be done right. I'll take it or leave it. You know, if there's a beer that needs that smoothness or that benefits from it, absolutely. But yeah, sometimes it kind of muddles it too. So you got to be careful. It's like anything else that goes in a beer. You got to use it the right time.
And I'm thinking like Guinness. You know, I actually really like Guinness in the bottle. I'll take it if it happens to be the nitro one. You know, I'll watch the bubbles go the wrong way in the glass, you know, and that's really interesting. But I'm much more interested in a beer that actually has carbonation rather than one that's flat.
The one thing I'll say about nitro is that we know how sensitive my palate was when I first started doing the show. I would be terrified at the very beginning of the show if I saw this many stouts sitting around. I mean, there's no way in hell I would have drank the Midnight Strikes. And that's a smooth beer. It's light right off the bat. I would have been drinking the Three Golden Hairs and I wouldn't have touched anything else on the table. Then I had a stout that was on nitro, and I was like, this isn't too bad. I can do this. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that made stouts doable. And I don't know what it is about it that makes it happen. But
there's IPAs I've had on stouts that I've introduced to people that say...
On nitro? IPAs?
On nitro.
Like, that, you just combine an IPA.
I knew what I was talking about. But the same thing. They would never drink an IPA, but if you offer them one on nitro first, it does kind of mellow out those flavors. So it's kind of a good way to kind of introduce some people to some styles.
Yeah, it's like the first one's free, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. The introductory aspect of it's a big one, and it's a key one too. But I don't think that Guinness being on nitro that's a no-go for me. No nitro stouts here, and stouts definitely. I would say the most popular one that you throw on nitro. Is that fair to say? Is that the style that
it's probably
you see
the most
likely?
Common.
Yeah,
but I've seen some double IPAs that have been on nitro too.
See, just I don't think I've had out. One of those.
Cream
ales are another one that you see once in a while on nitro.
I don't think I've ever seen a porter on nitro. I mean, they're smooth enough to begin with, but maybe I'm missing one.
Chocolate Shake, Boulder Beer Company used to do a nitro version of that.
Oh, nitro shake.
Yeah.
So nitro Irish Car Bomb sounded good the other day is where that conversation started, and then we got into all of that. But it is Stout Night. We do need to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll wrap up hour number one of Brew Talk Stout Night. Don't go anywhere. I'm Tanner Schwint, Chad Young, owner of the Tavern at St. Michael's Square, Dr. Michael Mosier. His introduction has got a little bit longer now. Co-owner, worker, Christy Mosier owns it. We'll get it narrowed down. He's the guy at UNC Brewing and Laboratory Sciences still. Don Chapman, Grimm Brothers, as always. We'll be back on the side right here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
.657 the time, hour number one just about in the books. Stout Night here on Brew Talk. Chad, what'd you learn this hour?
I don't know. I wasn't.
You were not
attention.
Ready for the quiz.
I wasn't. Nobody told me there'd be a quiz.
What'd you learn?
I learned that I probably am more terrified than I think I am.
That wasn't the goal. That's what I was trying to stay away from. Okay?
No. I learned that there's an awful lot of friends out there, and you just got to reach out and hope and pray they have the answer for you. Because you know, stumbling is. is great. It's great when somebody else helps pick you up.
Right, and if they don't have it, Google probably will. Don, what'd you learn hour number one?
What did I learn hour number one?
See, you didn't know there was a quiz either.
I didn't know there was going to be a quiz on this either.
I know. It's
start
okay.
taking notes again.
Yeah, see, right? I'm always glad because I'm always the second one asked, so when I hear the question, I instantly start thinking of an answer.
Ryan, what'd you learn? You better have an answer for me.
I learned a lot about hops.
Boom! See, just get a
feel like me, Chad.
He could.
It was almost like a more you know kind of thing.
He couldn't. He could. If we asked him one thing, name one hop we discussed.
Zots.
All right, he got it. Ryan with the gold star for the first hour. Hour number two coming your way. Hey, we are going to get the history of stouts. We're going to get some beer and food pairings as well. And the gentlemen go right to doing some research. We'll be back. Hour number two coming your way. It's Brew Talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFK. Hour number two coming up. Cheers.